In moments like this, our Heavenly Father, how can we thank you enough? How can we express our gratefulness unto you, Lord, in the lives of your people, in the life of your church, Lord, in our individual families? Father, in moments like this, Lord, we have nothing than to sing a new song unto you, to sing songs of love unto your holy name. For you are God, the creator of the earth, the heavens, and the things thereof, Lord. We come before you this morning, Lord, with a heart of praise, with a heart of worship, with a heart of thanksgiving unto you, the only true God, the one, O God, mighty to save. We humbly submit our gathering here this morning before you, pleading your hand over our lives, to minister to us, O God, to demonstrate your power over our lives as we praise you, as we worship you, for what you have done, Lord, in our life. Be glorified, our Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, we are thankful unto our living God for what he has been doing in our lives to this very day. This morning, as it has been indicated, is a morning of praise and worship. And it's a morning for us to come before God with a grateful heart, with a heart of praise. And to start with, I want to know, who knows where in the Bible was the first song recorded? It's a rhetorical question. I don't want anybody to answer. Where in the Bible was the first song recorded? When you read something in Exodus chapter 15, when the children of Israel had crossed over the Red Sea and watched the army of the Egyptians completely destroyed, they sang a song of praise unto our living God. They sang a song of thanksgiving for seeing God redeeming them from that bondage of sin, that bondage of slavery, where they were forced to do things that was against the will of God by their taskmasters. When they were freed, when they saw the destruction of their enemies, they could have nothing to say than to begin to praise God, than to begin to worship God, than to begin to give thanks unto our living God. Today, you and I also stand on the same platform with them. When you read something in Colossians 1:13, the Bible says, God delivered us from the power of darkness. And did not just leave us there. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. That is the kingdom of love. And so if we have nothing to testify about, at least God's victory for redeeming us from bondage, for redeeming us from sin, is enough to give God praise. It's enough to give God thanks. It's enough to declare his victory to the world. And so that's exactly what we are in for this morning. To let the world know that we have a Redeemer. And when that happened in the life of the Israelites, the Bible says Moses and the children of Israel declared that the Lord is my strength and my song. That was the song that they were singing. The Lord is my strength and my song. And is that your song this morning? That the Lord is your strength and your song. He has become my salvation. He has become my salvation. The living Lord, has it become your salvation? Has it become the one that has redeemed you from that pit of hell and has translated you into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his dear son? If that is the case, then you also stand at the same platform with the children of Israel to declare that same before the living God. He is my God, and I will exalt him, was the song that they were singing. Beloved in the Lord, this morning is a privilege for us to tell God we love God. It's a privilege to ignore all our struggles, to ignore all the challenges we are going through, and to stand before our living God with a heart of praise, with a heart of thanksgiving, declaring unto him how awesome, how great and mighty he is. And when we come before him, he steps in our situation and begin to intervene for our lives. And therefore, the reason for our gathering this morning is for us to tell God, thank you for saving us. The reason for our gathering this morning is for us to thank God, to tell God, thank you for victory over sin. For us to tell God, thank you for redeeming me from the hands of the enemy. The plans that he marked for me to destroy me, you have redeemed me out of it. So we have a reason for this gathering this morning. When the other tribes of the children of Israel were faced with a battle with their own brother Benjamin, the Bible says when they consulted God, God told them, let Judah go first. And you can see that in the book of Judges 20 verse 18. There was an issue regarding to that they have to fight their own brother. And when they went to God, God told them, let Judah go first. And the word Judah here means praise. And so he was telling them, let praise go ahead of you. And when they did that, victory was on their side. Like this morning, we are letting praise ahead of our battle with the enemy. And for that, you and I, we are assured of the Lord's victory over every situation we are faced with. In the book of Psalm 22 verse 3 and Psalm 114 verse 2, the Bible says, the Lord is enthroned in the praises of his people. When we come before the Lord with praises, the Lord becomes feel honored. He feels somebody that we really appreciate and love so much. And when that happens, his presence becomes inevitable in our gathering. He takes control. He manifests himself in an awesome way. And his presence is what we need when we come before him in worship. And one of the things that can attract his presence is when we come before him with praise and worship. And when that praise, and his presence also comes, it comes with some kind of what? Benefit. And that is the very thing that I want to talk about this morning. The two benefits that goes with God's presence being made manifest at the gathering of his children. The very first thing that we'll be looking at is his presence releases some kind of prophetic revelation, some kind of spiritual revelation, insight as to who exactly the enemy of your life at that moment is. Normally, we have so many things that we are fighting with. There are so many attacks, so many from your finances, your marriage, your single life, all facets of your life, the enemy is battling you. And when you come before God and you are praying, or you are before God in worship, God's presence comes with some kind of revelation as to what exactly to pray about. What enemy exactly you have to attack. And it does not even end there, would guide you to fire so that you not pray amiss. Most of the time, the Bible says we pray amiss because we don't align our will on his will. But when we come before him in praise and in worship, he gives us that revelation as to who the enemy is. So that when we shoot, we will not miss the target. We are able to defeat the enemy on time. So that's one of the benefits that when we come before God in praise and worship, we can derive. The other one too is that he releases his Holy Spirit, that prophetic gifting, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the spirit of discernment. He releases it over his people. As we worship, as we praise him, he releases it over us, and that builds us up and edifies the church. The church will triumph when there are people with words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and having the spirit of discernment. Everything we do them as the Lord requires of us. And when we come before God in praise and worship, he releases his presence. That goes with all this benefit. And so it's very important that we are having such a service. For us to come to the level of understanding the importance of praise and worship before our living God. And above all, this praise and worship has a very strong connection with a spiritual warfare. Because praise and worship, when you look into the Bible, it is a very vital tool that is needed when you are battling your enemy. It's an indispensable tool, some tool that you cannot do without it. And so this morning, I'm here to encourage you that we are on the right track, knowing so well that we are surrounded by so many enemies. In Psalm 149, which is our main text, we'll be reading it together very soon. It enjoins the saints of Christ, or the saints of God, to come before God joyfully and praise, and with the sword in our hands to execute the written judgment over the nations and the heathen. The Bible says that when we come before him in Psalm 149, we should come before him joyfully and praises, which empowers us like a sword in our hands. And that sword is meant to execute the written judgment that God has declared over our enemies, over the nations and the heathen. And so it's a very vital truth that we are dealing with our life. And because of that, some leaders in the times of the Israelites and the kingdom of Judah went with this style when they were faced with enemies in their camp. And to talk just about three of them, King Jehoshaphat, when you read something in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, he said, "Oh our God, would you not judge them?" There had been a written judgment about the enemies of God. But as to how that judgment ought to be exercised was what was left. And so when three kingdoms surrounded the kingdom of Judah, King Jehoshaphat came before the Lord, "Would you not judge them?" And let's see what happens. When you read the verse 21 and 22, he said, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." The Lord himself set an ambush over the enemies of God's children when they began to sing and to praise. And that could be your portion this morning. If you believe the Lord, I don't care the situation that you are in or whatever that you are fighting with. If you come before the living God with that genuineness of heart, with that willingness to align yourself before him, he will ambush those situations. He will surround them. He will take care of that problem that you find it difficult to confront. If we will come before him with singing and praise. Because he says you come before him with a joyful heart, with praise as a sword in our hands to execute the written judgment over the heathen and the nations. That is the power God has given to his children to execute. And this morning, if we come before him, we can exercise that authority to dispossess our enemies of our possession. And Joshua was also faced with that same situation. But when the angel or the Lord's commander, or the commander of the Lord's army, met him and he asked him, "Are you for us or you are against us?" He told him, "I'm for neither of you, but I'm here as the commander of the Lord's army." The interest was not the interest of the children of Israel, but it was the interest of God. And so you may have your own plan in battle, but the plan of God is that which must be followed. And the plan of God was what Joshua yielded to. They were also looking for a way to win, so they wanted somebody to be on their side. But then the angel was not there to abide by the plans of Joshua, but he was there to present to them what the Lord has for them. And what the Lord has for us is what can take us to our victory, but not what we have for ourselves. And when they aligned themselves with the plans of God for their life, the walls of Jericho came down. And so we read something in Joshua chapter 6, 20, 21. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. The wall fell down flat when they shouted. This is not just a shout, but it was a shout of praise. a shout of joy, a shout to declare the mighty works of the living God. And that brought the walls of Jericho down. Anything hindering your life, if you come before God with that joyful heart, with that praise, it has the power to bring down every hindering activity of the enemy in your life. And so when you trust him, he will do that in your life. Finally, King Asa, he said, it is nothing for you to help. That is in 2 Chronicles 14:11. When he was also faced with the enemies, he said, it is nothing for you to help. It is nothing for God to help. Is that what you are saying in your heart? You are faced with whatness, maybe after your education. Whatness, maybe after your contract in maybe in China, or maybe a situation you are just about to finish. And so you are filled with doubts, uncertainties, and fears. But it's nothing for our God to help you out of that situation. He did it for King Asa when he trusted him. And this morning, if we will do likewise, and we will come before him in praise and in worship, he will empower us with a sword in our hands to dispossess our enemies, to bring their kingdoms down, to overthrow them out of the areas that they are controlling in our life. And therefore, in conclusion, I would like to entreat all that can be on their feet, to be on their feet, if you can stand with me as we read together Psalm 149. I want us to read together Psalm 149 as we come to the first segment. Psalm 149, any version you can read with us. Psalm 149, the whole of Psalm 149 is 9 verses. It starts, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise his name with a dance. Let them sing praises to him with a trembling and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with feathers of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may take your seat. This honor has all his saints. And you are the saints of the Lord. And so the Lord had empowered your life with this honor. If you believe it and you will live with it, the result thereof shall be your portion. Because he had empowered us to even hold their kings in bondage, their nobles in feathers of iron. What more hasn't the Lord given us for victory when we come before him in praise and in worship? The worship team can join me as we enter into the second segment of our worship time before we come out with a prayer aspect of it.
Can we stand up? Praise the Lord once more.
Truly, Jesus Christ is our everything. And if that is the case, then we would agree with King Jehoshaphat, who said, oh, our God, will you not judge them? In the life of the persecuted church in the world, in the life of the church in China, in the life of GICF, in the life of our mother church back home, we are all faced with diverse forms of difficulties. But there is God's already declared judgment to set his church free, to liberate us from every attack, every bondage of the enemy. And when we come before him with praise and worship, for he is our everything, this morning, you have strength in your mouth. The Lord has ordained strength in your mouth. for the sake of the enemies of God, I want you to open up your spirit, open up your heart, open up your mouth with praise, declaring that the Lord should ambush all the enemies of God's church, the persecuted church, the church in China, the church of GICF, our mother church back home, all their challenges. Just open up yourself and talk to God, for He will ambush them and He will destroy them. Just talk to God. Just talk to God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, for we know, Lord, you are interested of our life. You are interested of your church, the church that you purchased with your own precious blood. Father, we know that, Lord, as we align ourselves with you this morning, you will step in to ambush, Lord, the enemies of your church. The church under persecution, O God. The church in China, Lord. The church, GICF, Lord, our mother church hope. Lord, we trust in your hand, O God, that, Lord, you ambush, O Lord, the enemies of your church. That your church will be liberated from all these fighting authorities, from all these fighting spirits, from all these fighting men that have been assigned as taskmasters over our lives. For we know that you are in to liberate us. This morning, Father, ambush them, Lord. And Father, defeat them, Lord, that your name will be glorified over our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the same light, I want you to pray for your life. You pray for your family. Pray for your finances. Pray for your business, your working life. Pray for your every facet of your life. God is interested of your life too. Ask Him that as you come before Him in grace, whatsoever thing is militating against you, standing in as a wall and unsurmountable, we are praying that as we come before Him with praise and in songs of worship, He will let all those walls fall down flat. Just begin to pray. I don't know which area, your health, your marriage, whatever. Just talk to God. Talk to God, for He's interested of our well-being. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we surrender our lives before you. Every facet of our life is right before you. For we know that, Lord God, you are our God. You are our only God, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, areas that we find it difficult to control, powers that are militating against us, have turned themselves as walls before us. We pray that this morning you will surround those walls, Lord, and will bring them down in the mighty name of Jesus. Those authorities, those powers that are detecting for us, in Jesus' mighty name we pray and we disarm them, Lord. We declare their altars, Lord, to be demolished, Lord. Wherever they are chanting, wherever they are offering sacrifice, be human sacrifice, animal sacrifice, beast of blood or whatsoever, we stand in this morning and we destroy their sacrifices in the name of Jesus. Their enchantments are being destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus. We liberate ourselves, our families, our studies, our finances, everything from the bondage of the enemy. We bless your holy name, O God. In the mighty name of Jesus. King Asa said, it is nothing for the Lord to help. It is nothing for you to help. I don't know whatsoever help you are looking for. Help in any facet of your life. If you come before Him knowing that your moment of uncertainty, He is very certain about your life. Your moment of disappointment, He has already appointed you for something that you have no idea. And if you seek His help, He will step in and He will lead you to His appointment for your life. I want you to come before Him. I don't know what you are so uncertain about. I don't know what is bothering your life. But this morning, as you come before Him, knowing that it's nothing for God to help. It's nothing. It doesn't cause. He takes pleasure in helping His children. He takes honor when our lives are in order. And so come before Him. For the church of God, come before Him. For the families therein, come before Him. For the church in China, come before Him. Any help we need, We have the greater help on our side. Just talk to him about our church, GICF. Whatever struggle we are going through, he is our greater helper. Talk to him, your family. No one can help you apart from God. Talk to him whatsoever help that you need. In your business decisions, in your work decisions, in your decision in marriage, your decision whether to stay single or whatsoever, it lies in the mighty hand of God. He can help you. Just talk to him. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, there is no other helper than you. There is no other helper than you. We come before you, Lord, and we know there is nothing for you to help. It's nothing, Lord. You are interested of our lives. You are interested of your church. You are interested of our families. Father, every facet of our life, you are interested of it, Lord. And so we surrender all before you. That, Lord God, we need your help. We are less in number compared to our enemies. We have no strength to battle our enemies. But Lord God, you have all that it takes to defeat them. So we come to you for help. We come to you that, Lord, you help us, Lord, to overcome our enemies. We give you all the glory, Lord. We give you all the praise, Lord. Be magnified, O Lord. Be exalted, O God. Be glorified.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And now can you say in your native tongue, praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
In your native tongue. In your native tongue. So if you're Spanish, you would say, amen. If you're Chinese, you would say, well, that wasn't very enthusiastic, was it? Everyone together, say in your own native language, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And now let's say together the word that's the same almost in every language, that means the same thing. Hallelujah.
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 And that's what heaven will be like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can praise you in obedience to your command, but also as an expression of gratefulness, because we have seen you work in our lives. And even today, we see your hand upon our service. And so we're encouraged to go out and face those battles, knowing that today we might hear the noise of battle, but tomorrow we will sing the victor's song. And one day we will be with you forever, when every tear will be wiped away from our eyes. And so today we go out rejoicing, knowing that you are worthy of our praise. And we commit to do that all week long. We will praise the Lord. In whatever language we use, we will praise the Lord. And Guangzhou will feel the difference. And we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. I did skip the script a little this morning, so I forgot to mention I should have called the rest of the deacons up to pray. So if Alfred, are you there? Would you wave your hand, Alfred? That's Alfred. And David, where is David? He's very tall, so we should see him. There he is. Yeah, there he is. They are also fellow deacons, and they should have come up when we prayed for those deacons. I'm sorry, guys, I missed you. Welcome to all the newcomers. Remember, there are refreshments here. And farewell if you are leaving. Please say goodbye to Diane and the Bennett family and anyone else that's going. God bless you. You are dismissed.